Unless you want to do what the Jews do, and that is stand the whole time the word is read or preached about. We have lots of children. And the teachers are arguing over who gets to go with them. So if your child's not available after church, one of the teachers ate them. Okay. I've got a question. Everybody who has attended for any time at all knows I love to ask questions. And I have a question for you this morning. Where are you in God's plan? Where are you in God's plan? Now, I want to read a portion of scripture. It's in Luke chapter 10. Turn there, if you will, please. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It's a part of the answer or part of the question. Luke 10, 38 through 42. It's a story you're all very familiar with if you've read the Bible at all. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. There's a very important piece of information in these five short verses. And I would like us to think about that this morning. In fact, it's more than just information. It's actually a whole philosophy of life. It needs to be applied and incorporated into each of our lives. Sometimes we get easily sidetracked by life. Life is a distraction for all of us. And sometimes we need to be aware of the fact that it is distracting us from God's purpose for us. We have two sisters in this story, one who acts differently than the other. Both are what we would call good ladies. But one is moving in the right direction, and the other is very practical and doing what most of you and I would do. But she's actually wrong in her philosophy of life. I want us to see if we can learn anything from both of them. Everything that we read in Scripture is there for a purpose. God does not put any spare words in Scripture just to be filling a blank page. Everything that His Holy Spirit inspired to be written was for a purpose and had a person in mind. And that was you, if you read the Bible. It may have been written 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. But He wrote it for you because He knew you would need it. God's word covers every aspect of God's of life for someone. May not be you, but maybe it is. One of these two sisters might represent someone here this morning. Dr. Luke, tell tells us about this experience under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So it's not there by accident, or it's not just an aside. It's a purpose. It must be needed by somebody, or God wouldn't have put it in his word. Let's look at verse 38 as we start this study. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. I don't know if Jesus was invited to that town and that's why he went there, or if he was just traveling and this was a convenience that he arranged so he could teach a person a lesson. But he was invited in by Martha, the practical one, the one who wanted to keep her house spick and span, who wanted the windows washed before she had guests, who wanted to vacuum all the dog and cat hair up before anybody sat down on her furniture, the one who was busy about everything, doing this, doing that. And we are told that when Jesus came in, now he came in as a guest. We've all had guests, every one of us. What do we want to do for our guests? We want to give them the very best we can give them. We want everything to be just perfect. If the roast is a little overdone, we're embarrassed and you know, we're humiliated. If the rice sticks, just all kinds of stuff. People, that's pride. That's pride. Now Martha was dutifully showing hospitality and fulfilling her daily chores and household tasks. It's never wrong to do what needs to be done. But sometimes that can take us away from what needs to be done or what needs to be accomplished. I would imagine that Mary had things that she did during the day to help with the housekeeping. But you will notice that it was Martha that invited Jesus to come into her house. You will remember the two sisters had a brother named Lazarus, who later on got sick and died, and Jesus waited. And then Jesus came and raised him from the dead. That has nothing to do with this story. These are the two ladies that we're talking about for now. There was absolutely nothing wrong with what either sister was doing. Nothing wrong. Martha invited Jesus and his entourage into the home and began preparing to feed her guests. Nothing wrong with that. I enjoy being invited into a home and fed. You probably do too. Most of the time. Depends on which home. The problem comes when Martha believes that she can't do everything that has to be done to feed all these people that have been invited unexpectedly. I seem to think that this visit of Jesus was unexpected. Sometimes you get unexpected guests. There's a lot of times in the Bible talks about winding up with unexpected guests. Remember the neighbor had to go borrow bread at night? Lots of issues here. Lots of examples throughout the New Testament. I get the impression that Lazarus was the younger brother, and for some reason he was not there at this particular moment because he's not mentioned. And I don't know if it would have made any difference because the older sisters don't usually let younger brothers tell them what to do. Does that work, ladies? Martha turned to the only authority figure in the house. At that time, the authority figure in the house was Jesus. And she had a request for Jesus, that he command her sister to help. I can remember when I was a young man, probably in my teens, my brother and I were given a chore. It was our duty, our job. We were to do dishes after a meal together. And we always tried to find food on some of the dishes that our brother had washed. Mommy's not getting them clean. Does that sound familiar? I think that she wanted her sister to help at the meal because she expected Jesus. She went and asked him to command her sister to help. And I think she expected Jesus to side with her. But he didn't agree with her. Now, can you imagine a guest coming to your home? Tradition says he's supposed to be fed. And for that guest to not care whether or not they get fed. Because Jesus didn't care. And I'm assuming he was setting an example for those who were with him. That's what makes this story so interesting. You would think that Jesus and his people who were with him would expect to be fed as guests in the lady's home. And it's possible that the people were anticipating being fed something. And that brings us to the reaction that is the point of the whole story. There were far more important things going on in the home that day than feeding a bunch of unexpected travelers. Jesus himself made that point, and I want us to look at what he said and see if we might be doing what Martha was doing. Martha made a request of our Lord as the authority figure in the house at that time. And what we're interested in is the reply that Jesus made to Martha. Martha requested Mary's help in the preparation of the meal. Jesus' response is recorded in verses 41 and 42. Luke 10, 41 and 42. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." I would imagine he was shaking his head in disagreement with what was going on. Have you ever done that with your kids? You know, they come, they do something, you know, outstandingly stupid. They got that from the other mate, okay, not from you. But I would imagine he was actually shaking his head. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I am told, and I have no proof medically or psychologically or any other way, I am told that everything your eye sees is recorded somewhere here in the brain. Every once in a while, you might envision something that took place when you were a small child. Something you remember, something stands out in your mind. And so when Jesus said that one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which is not, shall not be taken away from her, that she was where some recording could take place. Martha was probably scrubbing carrots or potatoes. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet to learn from him, to experience him, to be a part of what was going on with him. Jesus told Martha, what you are doing is not in your best interest. Can I paraphrase that? Martha, you're letting life get in the way of your spiritual activity. Sometimes we do that. We let life get in the way of what we should be doing, what we should be reading, what we should be thinking about, what we should be meditating upon, where we should be spiritually. Jesus placed his emphasis in one area of activity, and Martha was not engaged in that activity. So what was Mary doing that Martha was not doing? She was with Jesus, learning from him. What was Martha doing? She was busy about the many different things that can distract your and my attention away from the things of Jesus. Most of us are concerned about the things of life. It is part of our normal day. Most of us are. Every one of you, including myself, have things that you normally do on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, all the way through the week. We're concerned about the things that have no eternal consequence. There are things that must be cared for, but there is a proper time and place for those things, and they should not interfere with our time with Jesus. With God and God's Holy Spirit. I hope that's why we're all here this morning, that we want to learn about at least one of them, if not all of them. I want to take a minute or two and look at Jesus' specific reply in verse 41. When Jesus said, Martha, Martha, he was probably shaking his head in a negative sense or a sense of disbelief, just like some of you would do with some of your children at times. And it was a rebuke. It was a rebuke to Martha. If Jesus were to look at your life this morning, I want to imagine this sentence. If Jesus looked at your life, would he say, blank, blank, your name, while he was shaking his head in a negative mean? Blank, blank. I'll use AB back there. AB, AB. What are you doing, brother? Would he do that to us? Would he do that to you? Might he do it? That's a rebuke, folks. Would he say, thou art careful about men and troubled about many things? Would he be right? Are you careful and troubled? I know that he would respond that way because a a lot of times. Some of you are not here when God's Holy Spirit is here, moving among us, ministering to the people who are here. You're going about life's other tasks. You're not sitting at Jesus' feet, where he said Mary was in the right place, Martha in the wrong place. And there are days like that. There are times like that. I fear that there's a large percentage of church people across the country doing other things when they should be supporting the church's ministry with their presence. That's one way that you definitely support the church. And that's exactly what Martha was doing. She wasn't where the important eternal things were going on. She was involved in her life, the things that she placed an importance on, things that would not be remembered 2 or 3 weeks later, let alone in eternity. That's what some of us are experiencing on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. When out of Sunday morning attendance, which is in the high 20s or low 30s, falls into the teens and sometimes even single digits on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. We've had attendance on Wednesday night as low as 8. You think that has anything to do with what Jesus was talking about there in that situation? We're studying God's word so we can be equipped to better serve him, to be more knowledgeable about Jesus. I'm sure that some of those of you who don't attend services have legitimate reasons for not being able to attend. Just like Martha was doing when Jesus was teaching. But Jesus set a priority on what she was doing. There's a specific group of people who are always here every time we open the doors out here. Do you think that they have any less to do than anybody else? Or do you think they have rearranged their priorities to accomplish what they think God wants them to accomplish? Luke 10:42 said, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Jesus told Martha that one thing was needful. What do you think that one thing was? I will be the first to admit that I do have a problem finding particular scripture references. And sometimes I even have to stop and think about where a book is in the Bible. Do you ever have to do that? Oh, I know the Bible says this somewhere. I've got an advantage some of you don't have. I have a Bible program. I can put a word in, it'll show me where it's at. But I have to use that. You know why? Because I'm not familiar enough with the Bible as I could be. Do you find the same thing? And the reason is that you may not be here all the time. People, this is after more than 60 years of Bible study and Bible reading. I still have problems finding particular verses in the Bible. I'm sure you do too. you just know this verse will help straighten out a problem. But you can't remember where it is. Old Testament, New Testament. What book's it in? If we don't know all there is to know about God, shouldn't we be here when we're talking about Him, when we're learning about Him, when we're reading His Word? Shouldn't we be here? Or, like Martha, are you too busy with the things that concern life to spend time with the Lord, learning from Him and from God's Word? It's needful for all of us to know more about the things of the Lord. And the only way that's going to happen is if we are present when those things are being taught, when those things are being discussed. Bible reading is so important. Every day. And it's going to take time. I'm a very poor reader. I will tell you that. I confess that. I read slowly because I want to remember it. And sometimes I don't remember it. I read a sentence and I have to go back and reread that sentence. What did that say? What did God want me to know? So it takes time. And most of us think we don't have that time, that's not built into our life. And yet God has done that. We need to read the Bible through at least once every year. How long has it been since you've been saved? 10 years, 15 years, 25 years, 30 years? Have you read the Bible through 30 times? That's what Jesus was talking about. I try and take about 45 minutes per day to read the Bible every day. Gabriel can vouch for the fact that when I get up in the morning, the first thing that I do is make a cup of coffee and sit down and read the Bible. The coffee is keeping me awake. That's what Jesus called the good part, which shall not be taken away. There's nothing which we can earn or build or make that can be taken into eternity, no matter how many houses we build or how many homes we develop or anything else that we do. We will not take that into eternity with us, no matter how much money we earn, how many cars we have. It does not go into eternity with us. You know what goes into eternity? The souls of those we have led to Jesus Christ. That's the only thing we're going to see in eternity. You're not going to see a car. You're not going to see your house. You're not going to see anything, garden, whatever. You're only going to see the souls that you have talked to about Jesus Christ, that you have led to Christ, or had some seed planted in their life that someone else developed later on. That's the only thing you're going to take to eternity. And that's the only thing that is of value. Martha is not going to see a salad in heaven. I don't care how good it is or how much shrimp it's got in it or anything else. She's not going to see a salad in heaven. She certainly won't see one with shrimp in it because there'll be no death there. Okay. The only thing that she will see is maybe a neighbor's soul that she led to Christ. Jesus didn't say that when you skip church service, he would be with you. What did he say? He said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst of them. He didn't say that where two or three are gathered together for a ball game or a hockey game, that he would be in the midst of them. He qualified his statement about being among us if we're gathered in his name. And that doesn't mean that a person can say, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus, unless they are doing that in the name of Jesus, and it will have eternal consequences, that it is biblically accurate. You understand? Jesus was chiding Martha for being interested in the things of the world. Those are all things of the world. And we have to live here. We have to have money to buy groceries. We have to have money to pay our bills. That's part of our testimony. Can God provide that? Does God provide that? I believe he does. I believe that Martha loved Jesus just as much as Mary did. But the difference was that Mary was putting the spiritual things first and not the things of the world. The reason being that I believe that is recorded in 1 John 2:15, and most of you know what that verse says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, now this is so important. Listen to what this verse is truly saying. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If the things of the world get put ahead of the things of the church, the things of the world have become an idol. God hates idolatry. And I question whether or not the idolatrous person really believes on Jesus for salvation. I can't see their heart, but the things of the world, if they're more important than the church, I fear for that person's relationship. Let's look at 1 John 2:15 for just a minute in closing. God commands, this is a command, this is in the imperative. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If a person puts the church first, they are there whenever they can be. It's okay to do some of the other things like sports and other forms of social activity. I'm not saying those things are wrong, they're not. A person's love for God will put the church first as its first activity. A love for God will put activities of the church first ahead of all the other parts of life. But when the church is not the priority, there is a definite heart problem. I really wonder if a person loves Jesus as much as they say they did. We sang in Sunday school as we opened this morning, "Oh, how I love Jesus." There was a reason for that. You didn't know it because you hadn't gotten here yet. But it's true. A person's love for God will put the church and its activities first. I wonder if a person can really love him as much as they love the world. Priorities are going to show in a person's testimony. If they're not faithful to the family of God, they have a very serious heart problem. Our testimony is actually a barometer of our relationship to Jesus Christ. What does your testimony tell the people around you? Do they think that you love the Lord more than any other activity? Or might they think something else? Father, we come before you. And Father, we do not do it in pride. We do it in humility. Because, Father, we were born sinners. We have lived as sinners. We've grown up as sinners. And Father, we still find sin in our lives, though we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. Father, we would ask that your Holy Spirit, located in our soul, would help us to overcome the hold that sin has upon us in our lives. Father, may your will be done in our life as well as in the lives of the brothers and sisters around us. And Father, we will praise you for all the things that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.